Good morning. We have a new master of ceremonies today. That would be me. Bob's still praying. So Ed said he's ready to go. So everybody, let's get our food. And I'll open in prayer and Ed can get going. Father, we thank you for this day. We give you praise and glory, Lord God, for all things. We now ask that you would bless Ed's word today, Lord God. It be your word. Just let your spirit rest upon him as he teaches the word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. So the message is bread of the bread of life. And I put walking with the one who provides. As I was studying, this kind of came about over probably 2 weeks. Me and my wife went to vacation in Lake Tahoe.
Had a lot of fun.
Yeah. It was excellent. Lake Tahoe didn't want to come back, but you know, you go up to those mountain tops and you got to come back down, right?
Yeah.
Got to come. Moses went up to the mountain and he had to come back down. He didn't want to, but he had to come back down, right? So those times of refreshing, you know, help get clarity. You know, help you focus in on the Lord. And you know, that's kind of what I was thinking about when I started this lesson. So, you know, the bread of life and walking with the one who provides. So I said, this is a path to provision. God provides, right? So as I was praying about this and thinking about the teaching and God being the ultimate provider, right? We are all, he cares about all. So Psalm 111:5, he provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. Psalm 147:9, he provides food for the cattle and the young ravens when they call. You know, it's like how simple, and I know in Jesus talked about this also, was, you know, if God's going to provide for the cattle and he's going to provide for the birds and he's going to provide for all the animals, right, how much more so is he going to provide for us? Says Acts 14:17. Yet he has not left himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your heart with joy. I mean, if you think about, I know this is kind of geeky, but if you think about, you know, how God, you know, the cycle, the rain cycle, and all the weather patterns and everything that goes on in the earth to provide for us, right? And he provides even for those who don't believe in him, right? So the rain doesn't just rain for the just, it rains for the unjust. And you know, when you think about that, sometimes you can come to the conclusion that you did it on your own, right? That you're the one who went out. I'm the one who works 40 hours, 50 hours a week, and I go to work every day, and I'm the one providing. But if God didn't already rain, and he didn't already set up all this system, and he didn't provide things to grow and animals to live, then what would it matter if I went to work? Actually, within a couple of days, we would all be dead, right? Yeah. Not to put it harsh, but that's the truth, right? So sometimes we tend to think that we lean on ourselves, you know, when we don't have that job, or you know, something happened in our life where you know, maybe we got a pay cut, or maybe we got, you know, let go from our job. Maybe it's a time, you know, a season in your life where you're struggling. But if you look back at Scripture and you go, hey, wait a minute, I'm not the provider. This is just the means that God used to provide for me. So I'm going to have faith that God's going to provide me some new means, right? Because every day He's going to provide. So why isn't He going to provide for you tomorrow? Today, right? John 6:35, when Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. And then I was thinking about, you know, some of the first crying out to God, right? In those moments that I was talking about, is you lose that. You kind of think that you're failing, and you know, maybe God's not there for you because you're going through that time. And I thought about, you know, the first thing a baby does when it enters the world is cry. Right? There's no other communication for a baby other than crying. And, you know, as parents, you have to figure out, usually it's they're hungry, right? And, you know, I thought about all the times that people cried out to the Lord, and even in your own life, in my own life, is crying out to the Lord in those, you know, desperation. And really, that's what a baby's doing. They don't know anybody. I mean, obviously, they know their mother because of the senses, but they don't know how to do anything for themselves, and all they can do is cry. And I think, you know, if we go back, Jesus is the bread of life, then, you know, sometimes we're in those moments where all we can do is really cry, right? It's like, God, I need you to provide. I need you to do this because I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what to do next. I don't know where to go. And so we cry, right? It says Job 38:41. Who provides food for the raven when its young cry out to God and wander about for lack of food? Again, you know, it just reiterates that if the raven cry out and God hears them, why wouldn't He hear you? I mean, He didn't die on the cross for a raven, right? He died for us. So how much more is He going to do that for you? Exodus 3:7, it says, the Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. Sometimes, you know, as we, you know, I was thinking about a child growing up. So when they're babies and they're crying, of course you give them the food, right? And when they won't take the food, you try all the other things. But as they grow a little bit and they become toddlers, you know, you don't expect them to cry the same way as when they're babies. So you're, the way you feed them and teach them is different. And then at some point they have to pick up the fork and the knife themselves and start eating for themselves. But you're still given that food, and then they're partaking of it. And that's what I'm thinking with, you know, as our walk with Christ is, you know, when we're first saved, it's like a brand new baby. He's going to be feeding you so much, and He's going to take care of every single thing for you. And then, right? And then it's like the uh-oh, you know, it's like Brian said, then it's, you know, you have to start come into the classes yourself. You have to make the effort. You have to come to maybe a Bible study or to a men's prayer breakfast or, you know, whatever it is. But you have to make the effort. And then at some point in that walk, there's even more, right? There's more effort. There's more struggles. There's more crying out. The Israelites had to cry out for 400 years, right? I don't think any of us had to cry out for 400 years, but they had to cry out for 400 years because of the things they did. So I call this the path to knowing Him, right? To knowing the Provider. So it's like being learning that God provides, and now it's knowing Him. You know, as I was talking, as you know, I just use that because God gives us that as an example of a kid. It's knowing, you're learning, the kid's learning how you are as parents. They're learning to know you, and we should be learning to know God as He's providing for us. Now it's how do we know Him? Exodus 14:6 says, that's the scripture, raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. You know, that's where God parted the sea. Moses parted the sea. And it's just one of those examples of how God provided for them. And now they're learning that God's faithful, that He took them out of Egypt, and then they were sitting there in the desert with, Mark did a whole snapshot of that last week, but they were sitting there in the mountains on one side, and then Pharaoh comes in on the other side to attack them, and there's nowhere to go. And when there's nowhere to go, we need to go to the one who provides for us. He's faithful in all things. Exodus 16:4 says, then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. I put that in there really for both parts, but you know, they were in the desert, they had no food, and God provided. But also in that, He tested them with the instructions that He gave them. You know, He said, go out each day and gather enough food for one day. And then on the Sabbath, or the day before the Sabbath, gather enough for 2 days, right? So I thought about that. It's like, how many of us are worried about what God's going to provide for us for tomorrow? Right? And the next day, and the next day. It's like, all we need to worry about is one day. Right? What's God going to provide today? Has He provided for us today? I mean, you guys are all eating. Right? He provided me a nice coffee right here, and you guys all got that food. So God's provided for you today already. You know, you got your first meal. All right. I said, again, I was trying to be funny, but, you know, I'm not that funny. That's funny, right? I guess I get, you know, once in a while I get one joke in there. Watch and learn is what I said. What has God done in your life to show you who He is? Right? And then I just said, for me, these are just some simple examples of my life. And I said, you know, for my life, He's been there And I look back at every event of my life, whether it's good or bad, God's there, right? And I just listed a couple, you know, when I said, when I got married, right? God's there. He was there. It was that was a joyous occasion. So we always think in bad events, but what about in the good events in your life? God's there in all events. And he was there when I got married, obviously. We're witnessing before God in that. God provided for me shortly after that. I needed to, you know, to provide a place to live, and you know, we were in an apartment. I needed a house, and I needed to have a car, and you know, it was a tough time in my life where I was only like 21 years old. So God provided, even though I wasn't making very much money. Now I had to work like 80 hours a week, but God did provide, right? It's like I had to work for it, and through that it strengthened my life, right? And then shortly after that, when I got married, because I actually wasn't doing things right in my life, so that was the year I got saved. That was the year I got married. So that was the year that we actually had Taylor before we got married. So that was the year that when I straightened this stuff out, God provided, right? Sometimes we have to go through maybe the hard road to realize that we need, you know, who do you want to serve sort of thing, you know? You want to go through it this way? Or do you want to go through it this way? Both roads are hard, but one's harder than the other in the sense that you're on your own, right? Then I said, let's see, what's the next thing? I said, next thing was I was looking at our, you know, we had two kids at this point, and my wife was working, I was working. We were constantly fighting because working and cleaning and two kids, you know, was a pretty difficult situation. So, you know, I just laid out all of my budget and how much money we were spending and how much we're bringing in, insurance, house payment, just laid it all out. And I figured it out, and I'm like, if you quit your job, we'll be losing like $200 after you pay the babysitter, everything else, right? And even $200 was like, well, how are we going to do that, right? $200 is still a lot of money when you're spending every penny you got. So it took about a couple months and praying and, you know, working through that with my wife, put it that way.
You are funny.
I feel you.
And she was committed to doing it, and she did it. And probably maybe a week or so later, I got a pay raise. Guess how much for? $200 a month.
What a coincidence!
So you know, that's just another example. Let's see. Then our children, to go backwards, but Autumn and Mia, actually, when they were born, they both had the umbilical cord around their neck. So every time she would go and have a contraction, the baby's heartbeat would drop. So, you know, God was there in that time. You know, we had to emergency go in and go to the next, you know, emergency C-section, and God was there for both of those things. But those are just a few examples. I just wrote those down to, maybe inspire you guys to look at those examples in your lives, you know, of where God, you know, how he provided for you. If I wrote all of them down, then, you know, we would be here all day, so. path of walking with the provider again, trusting Jesus. How quick do we forget of these things that he's done in our lives when we're in the midst of a storm, right? So how quick is it that when we're maybe we did take that pay cut or whatever that I talked about earlier, or maybe something's going wrong that you think is wrong in your life, but maybe we're just looking at it from a different perspective. Maybe we should be looking at it from God's perspective of what he's trying to do in our life instead of what we're going through, right? So I'm going to play this one song because this really spoke to me. I hope it speaks to you. I know you guys have heard it before, but for some reason it just spoke something different to me.
In the eye of the storm, you remain in control. And in the middle of a war, you guard my soul. You alone are the anchor when my sails are torn. Your love surrounds me in the eye of the storm. When the solid ground is falling out from underneath my feet, between the black skies and my red eyes, I can barely see. When I realize I've been sold out by my friends and my family, I can feel the rain reminding me. In the eye of the storm, you remain in control. In the middle of the war, you guard my soul. You alone are the anchor when my sails are torn. Your love surrounds me in the eye of the storm. When my hopes and dreams are far from me and I'm running out of faith, I see the future I picture slowly fade away. And when the tears of pain and heartache are pouring down my face, I find my peace in Jesus' name. In the eye of the storm, you remain in control. In the middle of the war, you guard my soul. You alone are the anchor when my sails are torn.
No? Did you play it at VBS?
You didn't play the theme of VBS. That
was the theme song of VBS.
Are you serious?
That's serious. Almost a prophetic.
Wow.
Almost.
I was not at VBS, so nope.
Yeah, that's our theme.
I should have been there. No. If you know me, I don't really listen to music, so so for me to even bring that up is kind of a, I was just, actually I got in the car and it just happened to be on the radio, and it was one of those days that it spoke to me, so.
Have you recovered from the shower?
I didn't do anything. I just stood here in the, I just stood there and watched. I learned from Pastor Don.
Out ace disciple, brother.
That's right.
Here to my ideas.
Nothing wrong with not doing anything as long as you do it with style.
Exactly. All right. You know, after okay. Luke 8:23-25, it says, "As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake, so that the boat was being swamped, and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, 'Master, Master, we're going to drown.' He got up and rebuked the wind and the rain, raging waters. The storm subsided, and all was calm. 'Where is your faith?' he asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, 'Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him.'" It kind of goes along with that storm, you know, in the eye of the storm, because, you know, they were in the eye of the storm, in a real storm, right? A physical storm of being on the water. And Jesus was in their boat sleeping, which is, I mean, Jesus said he knew what he was doing, right? I mean, have you ever been on a mission trip with Pastor Don? He takes a lot of naps, right?
He doesn't have to be on a mission trip.
Right? It was like Jesus, you know, he was taking a nap, man. He's like, "Come on, man, we're going to the other side. While we're going, I'm going to take a nap." But, you know, really Jesus is in he's in your boat, right? I mean, he's in your life. You know, I mean, it's kind of hard to maybe comprehend sometimes, but he's in you. So that means he's with you always. Right? So he's in the boat and you're over there crying and being in tears or whatever, and you're not trusting that God is in your boat. Turn to him and, you know, find out what you got to do. Right? Have that faith and trust that, you know, when all else seems to be failing, Jesus is not going to fail. Right? All right. And then last one is John 16:33. "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Right? We've got to remind ourselves that, you know, Jesus has overcome and promises us that we're going to have trouble, but we're going to overcome too. I always think about, you know, when you watch movies or you go to these movies, do you go to a movie? I mean, I know you girls do, but do you go to a movie that you want, you know, that you know, got a bunch of losers on there, or you go to a movie where people are overcoming? There's some kind of challenge, right? There's something always going on, and in the end, at least a lot of movies, in the end, they've overcome something. And I got to backtrack what I said because I just realized what I said. But what I was trying to say is for the women, you know, you go to more of a romance type movie where maybe, you know, in the end, the guy and the girl get together, right? And they're not that they're a bunch of losers. That's what I kind of said, so. Sometimes my thought has to catch up with my mouth. So I put some less, just two quick lessons from Jesus's. You know, it says, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. You know, how many times do we withdraw ourselves from all the storms of life? You know, when I went to, like I said, when I went to Lake Tahoe, you know, and you're just sitting there in the mountains, I could only think about, you know, Moses going on the mountains and, you know, Jesus speaking to him there. So how many times do we withdraw ourselves like Jesus, you know? And then Matthew 6:33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. That's amen, right? Each day has its own trouble, and I don't have enough hair to worry about tomorrow. And then to end, I'll just show you my jokes.
Amen.
Amen.
Ha 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 ha!